Our gospel lesson for this day comes to us from the second chapter of the gospel according to Acts. Glory to you, O Lord. I can see some of you going, ooh, 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 pastor, pastor, pastor. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, four gospels. Why are you saying Acts? It's one of those little things that people didn't realize, but Acts is really Luke part two. It's written by the same author and all that kind of stuff. And like all good sequels, someone else had to drop something in between, so we got John. So there you go. When the day of Pentecost had come, the disciples were all together in one place. And suddenly from heaven there came a sound like the rush of a violent wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. Divided tongues as of fire appeared among them, and a tongue rested on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them ability. Now there were devout Jews from every nation under heaven living in Jerusalem. And at this time, at this sound, the crowd gathered and was bewildered, because each one heard them speaking in the native language of each. Amazed and astonished, they asked, "Are not all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear, each of us, in our own native language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs. In our own languages, we hear them speaking about God's deeds of power." All were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, "What does this mean?" But others sneered and said, "They're filled with new wine." But Peter, standing with the 11, raised his voice and addressed them, "Men of Judea and all who live in Jerusalem, let this be known to you, and listen to what I say. Indeed, these are not drunk, as you suppose, for it is only 9 o'clock in the morning. No, this is what was spoken through the prophet Joel. In the last days it will be, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even upon my slaves, both men and women, in those days I will pour out my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show portents in the heaven above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and smoky mist. The sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the Lord's great and glorious day. Then everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved." The Gospel of our Lord. Please be seated. No offense, but you know that imagery at the end there, you know, when he's, you know, prophesying from Joel, he's repeating Joel. I mean, there's let's face it, there's some stuff in there that's a little scary, you know, that you listen to and you go, wow, that's kind of a not exactly a friendly image. Well, to be honest, I had a nightmare the other night. I went to hell, and Satan made me do karaoke with him. Yep, the devil made me do it. Now, many of you are looking at me very closely, and I give thanks for that, especially through your glasses. I wore glasses for many years before I had the laser surgery. You know, I always want to respect people who wear glasses because you paid good money to see me. You know, we've been doing a lot of work at home, and we just recently had to redo the garage door, the opener, and everything else with it. It was not exactly an expected expense, and as you redo all these kinds of stuff, you get all these manuals. Well, I had to go and invest in a new ladder, and I got one. It was a step-by-step guide. I know. The jokes don't get any higher, neither did the ladder. Nearer my God to thee? Yeah. I'll stop right there. Actually, I should have stopped a while ago. See, I already told you. I got you awake, and see, hopefully that anticipation and cliffhanger is still holding you. But what do we do with this? This, you know, for all of you who have ever been asked to read on Pentecost and have been given the joyful assignment of reading Acts 2 and going, you want me to say who, what, where, and when? You're welcome. I did it today. But what's all going on here? There's an awful lot going on in this lesson. There's an awful lot going on. Remember, Jesus just before told his disciples, right before his ascension, which we heard last week, go back, wait for power from on high, and then you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, to the ends of the earth. Here's that. Here's that power from on high that comes down. There's a lot going on, because you might look at this whole list and go, wow, it seems like the ends of the earth was in Jerusalem. Well, there's a bunch of stuff going on there. We normally look at Pentecost as like the birth of the church. You know, happy birthday, church. But in all honesty, Pentecost predates Christianity. The reason why there are so many people in Jerusalem at that time, from all different parts of the world, you know, different parts of the empire and around the area, is because there's a couple things going on. One is 7 weeks after Passover was the traditional celebration of the receiving of the law at Mount Sinai. So you had a lot of devout people in Jerusalem there for that celebration, the gift of the Ten Commandments and the gifts of the laws at Sinai. But also, it was the big harvest party. The spring harvest, the winter wheat and everything else like that, this is what's coming in right now. You wonder why one of the first assumptions of the people are is, oh, they're drunk. Probably because there's a lot of drinking going on. If any of you have ever been in a small community after harvest time, you understand the parties that sometimes happen because, oh my gosh, we actually got one. And it was a celebration, but it also meant offerings to the temple and everything else like that. Now, I never did quite understand the whole, well, the reason why they're speaking in all these languages is because they were drunk. I have often experienced people who have drank too much thinking they're speaking English and they're only speaking gibberish. The only things that I seem to see people think they can do when they've been drinking a lot is dance. Or sing karaoke, which I understand is a Japanese word for drunk American tourists singing badly, but I may be wrong there. I don't speak Japanese. But you had all of these people there and all of this stuff going on, and then there's this celebration that happens in their midst, a celebration of a gift that was given to them, the Spirit. And of course, it was a little crazy. It was a little, you know, it was like, what's all happening here? And it makes sense because, honestly, we're still trying to figure out what's going on when it comes to the Spirit. I think sometimes that's why, especially Lutherans, have such a hard time with the Holy Spirit. In the name of the Father and the Son and that crazy one we don't want to talk about too much, that keeps messing with us, that keeps doing things. But notice that the Spirit is not acting really crazy. There's no speaking in tongues like we think of tongues. They're speaking languages that exist. There's no angelic speech going on here. Their people are hearing it in their languages. It's giving them the ability to proclaim the good news in their mother tongue. This is, you know, so they're hearing it in all these different ones. But also one thing I'll say is, as you look at this list, some of these, I'm not entirely sure these groups existed at this time. Some of them are almost like historical creations. Elamites, Medes. Some of them weren't really around and active as much anymore, if existing at all. Maybe then because the Spirit is not just telling us that we have this, it allows us to deal with people in a spatial sense, in different places and different areas, but also a temporal sense. This Spirit is not just for one period in time. How do we know that? Why are you here? You weren't there in Jerusalem 2,000 years ago. English isn't one of the languages spoken. I really think, though, it's kind of neat. I think one language was spoken, it was German, because honestly, these people were all early Lutherans. You doubt me? What's the question that they ask? What does this mean? I didn't know Martin Luther was alive. What does this mean? There's a question in the small catechism. What does this mean? Was ist das? German's not listed, but I'm sure that was an oversight. What does this mean? But that's part of the Spirit, folks. What does this mean? Maybe that's why we think we have problems with the Spirit, because sometimes it messes with us, and we're not entirely sure what does this mean. An awful lot. It means a great deal more. How? Because someone received it and shared it. And that's where we might say this is the birthplace of the church. Because someone received this and went. But notice that the languages are a vehicle. But one of the most important things is the languages, the most important language, though, is love. How are we proclaiming the good news? You know, I think of, you know, my experience at Paz Cafe, and I think about those people sitting there. It's one thing for me to have been saying certain things, aside from B25, N64, and all that kind of stuff. Because I was there, and others were there as a part of all of these others who shared different things, and so there was tangible, physical things, food and items and even just fun and fellowship. Some way or another, the language of love that they needed to hear, they received. They received the good news of God and Jesus Christ because somehow it was proclaimed to them in words, but also in deed. And if we think about our lives, that's more often than not what happens to us. It wasn't just words that came to us. It was an experience. It was some deed. It was some act. Some way that showed us that we were of value and that we were loved. That we were given gifts. That we were of value. Now, on that point, I need to raise something. We, you know, one of the most important things that the Holy Spirit does to us is mess with us in our sense of order. What I mean by this is simple. Oftentimes, I see people and I ask people to get involved with certain things or to do certain things, and the response I get is, well, Pastor, I can't do what you do. I can't do what I do. Let's be honest, brutally honest sometimes. No, you don't have to do what I do. That's not the point. But you are beloved and you are gifted and you are called that God has gifted you through the power of the Holy Spirit to be the person God needs in the places where God has called you. That God is there with you and calls you forth to go. Just as you've done it to the least of these, you've done it to me. In baptism, let your light so shine before others. Well, it's not your light. It's the light that was given to you. We go and do things and show love, not because if once we achieve certain things and we've attained certain projects and we've checked off certain boxes, we've all of a sudden attained God. But no, God's going to come to us. Here they were in that room. At least this time it wasn't locked. They were following instructions. The Spirit came to them where they were. And from there, they went to Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, to the ends of the earth. They didn't go to the ends of the earth and went, oh, there he is. We don't ask to find Jesus. Have you found Jesus? As if he's lost. Jesus finds us. The Spirit comes to us and blesses us as we are, where we are, with various gifts and talents to go and do things to show and share the good news of God in Jesus Christ. The different languages that we may be able to proclaim, which may be one thing or another. I love the giggles. Hey, the giggles, I like that one. I'm just glad it wasn't something like Highway to Hell or something like that. Living on a prayer, that would be kind of fun. The good, the bad, the ugly, that's mine. Which is why I make sure mine's silenced. Because it's actually gone off in church. It actually has. Life happens, right? And that's all right. Because that's what this Pentecost is about. That's what this day is about and what our life of faith is about. It's about receiving these gifts of grace and then going, well, what does this mean? And in hope and faith, following in the grace and love of God that comes to us first. Now what do we do with it? How do we show this? How do we share it? And it isn't about being pastor. Trust me, I'd rather not be wearing all this stuff. It's getting warm in Tucson this point of the year. It isn't about this in what we wear. It's about what we do. How do we share and proclaim the good news of God? What's the language of love that you use? Where's the space and the place where God has put you? So to do that, this is what it's about. And the Spirit is going to screw with us and mess with us and tell us, well, you know, you got to go and do this. And we're going to go, well, I can't. Yes, you can. As Paul would write in Romans, even when you don't even know what to pray, the Spirit intercedes for you with sighs too deep for longing. Even when you don't even have words and you're just kind of going, oh, the Spirit is there already working for you. I can do all things through him who strengthens me, says the one who by the Spirit was able to go out to the ends of the earth. Sometimes it's the ability to deal with your neighbor and love them as yourself, to be able to bridge the gap and to speak a different language to someone else who might also speak the same language as you, but because of their experience in life and everything else like that, maybe as alien as anything else. But the ability to go and to show some sign of love. And yes, it comes to you and not just to me. And so I invite you to remember that gift given to you. If you repeat after me the promises God gave you in holy baptism. I've been sealed by the Holy Spirit. I've been marked with the cross of Christ forever. I am Christ's. You're already there. You've already got it. You are Christ's. You are part of the family. And yes, we're marked with the sign of the cross of Christ forever, which is a reminder of the fact that yes, there is failure. Yes, there is death. Yes, there are things that go horribly wrong, but it's never the last thing. It is always a reminder of new life and new hope and another chance. And you've been sealed by the Holy Spirit. Yes, you've been given gifts. You've been blessed to be a blessing. But start here. Remember that God loves you, and so do I. Amen.